Sarah Randazzo is a reporter for The Wall Street Journal who has been following the Theranos story, the multi-count trial of Elizabeth Holmes, the founder. Sarah, you're on WGN. Thanks for joining us.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
How far along is the trial, by the way?
Yeah, we're getting toward the end. We've been here since the beginning of September, so it's been a long time, but we're now in the point of time where Elizabeth Holmes, who's the defendant in the case, is bringing witnesses of her own to try to clear her name. And so her lawyer said at the end of the day yesterday that he thinks his case will be done next week. And so there's a few other things that would happen after that, but we're getting close to closing arguments and the jury finally hearing the mountain of evidence that they've heard over all these weeks of trial.
3 months of testimony. Wow. Wow. Theranos was this high-tech medical device-making company, kind of a darling on Wall Street. It started, was it publicly traded? Was that, or was that privately?
It was never public. Yeah. No, it was always private until it imploded. Yeah.
And the idea was that with just a tiny pin prick on your finger, you would draw blood, put it into a machine, and it would tell you a whole host of things about you, right? Medically.
Exactly. Yeah. They said that they had innovated the blood testing world and shaken things up, and you could do a couple drops of blood from the finger prick and put it in a cartridge, put it in these little machines that had a kind of Apple, you know, computer vibe, and that they could test for over 200 blood conditions. But what's come out at trial and through reporting from the Wall Street Journal years ago was that really those devices could only ever do about 12 tests, and they were actually covertly using just normal blood machines for the rest of their testing.
So they would take that blood and then just do the sorts of things that would otherwise happen, promoting it as though the machine worked, and therein lies the charge of fraud, right?
Exactly, yeah. The government has charged her with lying to investors and to patients about the capabilities of their technology, and they have brought 11 counts of wire fraud and conspiracy against her.
And this is more, though, than just a company lying about the efficacy of its machine, because it was then returning results to clients, patients, if you will, for which they had no claim, right? I mean, people were making maybe life decisions based on this technology who should not have been.
Yeah, and that's what makes this a lot different than other technology companies that have failed. You know, they were actually, they had testing centers in Walgreens pharmacies, mostly in Arizona, and patients could go and get their blood tested. And so, you know, a lot of times what's come out is that they were just getting a normal blood draw and it was being tested by Theranos on normal machines. But even so, there were some accuracy problems. And so really they were rolling something out to patients that just wasn't ready to be rolled out.
How big a deal was Theranos? How rich was the valuation of the company? How important was this?
Yeah. So at its peak, it was worth $9 billion based on several investment rounds. They got hundreds of millions of dollars in investments from names like the DeVos family, Rupert Murdoch, some other big name investors, a lot of family offices. And so Elizabeth Holmes controls a little more than half of the company. So her paper fortune was $4.5 billion at one point, and then it all imploded and basically went down to zero.
Was there a tipping point? Was there a patient zero? What caused this house of cards to collapse?
Yes, it was actually my now former colleague, John Carreyrou, a Wall Street Journal reporter. He sniffed this out, basically, and wrote articles saying, hey, this isn't what it seemed. And this has been after there were many glowing articles in other publications that were really touting Theranos. And so it was really what's come out at trial is that the Wall Street Journal really was, to toot our horn a little, the reason that this fraud was exposed.
No, I read Bad Blood, and you're absolutely right. And I think, I don't know if it was a crime, but what Theranos did to discredit and try and ruin John Carreyrou's reporting and career was criminal. I mean, they really went after him, didn't they?
Yeah, and it was fascinating just yesterday in trial, actually, when the government, Elizabeth Holmes herself is on the stand right now, and the government is having its turn to question her. And their questioning started really strongly with all these questions about the journal and about John Carreyrou, who was sitting in court. So it made for quite a moment, but they basically said to her, why you hired, you hired opposition research to go after him. You hired PIs to follow his sources. And they went through these things that she did to try to discredit the story, culminating in her actually reaching out to Rupert Murdoch, who is, the ultimate kind of owner of the journal's parent company, and trying to get him to kill the story, which, of course, didn't work.
So was it a foregone conclusion all along that Elizabeth Holmes would take the stand?
Not at all. It was an incredible shock, really, for those of us in court. Everyone had written analysis pieces on will she or won't she, and most legal experts were saying, oh, it's just too risky. You know, most white-collar defendants don't take the stand. And then as their third witness, her lawyer said, we now call Elizabeth Holmes. And it was a Friday afternoon after 5 days of testimony. Everyone was exhausted, and we suddenly realized, oh, my gosh, this is happening. So, yeah, it was quite a surprise.
Was she wearing a black turtleneck, and does she have the same voice?
There was no turtleneck. She's adopted a really nice kind of business casual look. You know, she wears different kind of skirt suits and dresses most days, and her hair is a little different than it used to look. But, you know, I think her voice is her voice. I mean, she's had, you know, she has a deep register, but she's spoken in the same voice on the stand the whole time, and in the halls and in the bathroom earlier in the trial, you know, it was the voice we heard. And, you know, I know there's been a lot of chatter about that, but to me, she just has a slightly deep voice.
Well, there's something hypnotic about her, though, and she was, you know, she had a uniform, if you will, and it was a Steve Jobs-like, always black turtleneck sweater, mm-hmm. who she wanted to emulate in every way. And then with that voice and the blonde hair and the striking appearance, and suddenly it seems like men lost their minds over her. And I don't know if that has anything to do with this trial, but that's part of the narrative, isn't it?
Well, it really, it's funny you say that, because it really did have some bearing on the trial. There was really a men of a certain age who really kind of were enamored by her. And we heard from Jim Mattis on the stand, and we heard from executives from Safeway, Stephen Bird, the former CEO of that grocery store chain. And both of them really just talked about being, you know, just so brought in by her. Stephen Bird described her presence in a room as similar to those of U.S. presidents he had met, and said she really owned the room. You know, Mattis, we saw emails where he would sign it, you know, young Elizabeth, he'd say, you know, have best of luck, young Elizabeth. And it felt like she really had a sway on people, particularly older men.
They were all smitten. It's funny. So what's the worst case? What's the best case? I mean, if she's found guilty on these 11 counts of wire fraud, what does that mean?
Yeah, so technically each charge carries a 20-year sentence. You know, in reality, it would never be 20 times 11. Sentencing is very complicated. There's a lot of factors that go into it, but it shows the gravity that, you know, these are charges that could carry, you know, a sizable prison term if she's convicted. She could also be fully acquitted. And then, you know, the kind of worst case scenario is we get a hung jury that is split and can't decide. And then the government has to choose if they do the whole thing over again, you know, which no one ever wants.
One last thing then, what's the read on it? How's it going? Does it look good for the state?
Yeah, I don't make predictions, but, you know, there's certainly been compelling evidence on both sides, I'd say. You know, the government called, and this is a federal case, I should note, so it's the U.S. Attorney's Office called, you know, almost 30 witnesses, and then she's now, you know, taken the stand herself in her defense. So it's really, the jurors have a lot to sift through, and it'll be really interesting to see, you know, where they come down.
I've enjoyed your coverage of this. Sarah Randazzo is a reporter for The Wall Street Journal. And maybe we'll connect again later in the week or next week. Thank you, Sarah.
Yeah, thanks.
Nice to talk to you.